Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, January 23rd. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Marisa G., the 12 Traditions, Barbara W. The readers of the text are Penny L. C., Margaret D., Sherry M. And, okay, so we will be reading from the Big Book, and we are into action, the chapter, and we're on page 73, the fourth paragraph down. We must be entirely honest with someone, with somebody, through one paragraph ending with, of course, we encounter people who do not understand alcoholics, and the comments will be on that one paragraph only. The share ID for Wednesday, January 22nd. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,104. That's 22104. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, January 23rd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,106. That's 22106. Our newcomer greeter is Chanel T. And our announcements person is Leslie M. Thank you all for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Marisa G. to read the 12 steps. And I don't remember her checking in. So, Sherry, I'm going to ask you to step up. I thought I had it all covered. I didn't remember her checking in.
Okay. I'm here. Thanks. And one, we admitted
we
were powerless
over
food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves that could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to ourselves, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks.
Hey, thank you very much, Sherry Ann. And I will now ask Barbara W. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. I'm Barbara, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Number one, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, our group purpose, but there is an ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern us. Three, the only requirement of OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsive. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message of compulsive overeaters for those who still suffer. Six, an AA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lend OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of property and pervert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no outside issue, hence the OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relating policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, TV, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is our spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'm glad to be back and feeling good because I was sick.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara. Glad you're back and well. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 6 months. Our abstinence for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter Into Action on page 73, the bottom of the page, begins with "We must be entirely honest to somebody," and it ends on page 74, that of course we sometimes encounter people who do not understand alcoholics. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to begin to get us started. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning to everyone on the line. Thank you, Mo, for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. We must be entirely honest with somebody. If we expect to live long and happily in the world, rightly and naturally, we think well before we choose the person or persons with whom to take this intimate and confidential step. Those of us belonging to a religious denomination which requires confession must, and of course will, want to go to the properly appointed authority whose duty it is to receive it. Though we have no religious connection, we may still do well to talk with someone ordained by an established religion. We often find such a person quick to see and understand our problem. Of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand alcoholics. So this is a process of decision. I have to realize I'm receiving in the paragraph some directions for step five. And what does step five ask of me? Well, that I'm going to be admitting to God, to myself, and to another human the exact nature of my wrongs. So what does it mean to be entirely honest, first of all? You know, it may be difficult to be honest. If there, at some point, you know, I used to have myself so confused, I didn't really even know what my truth was. But what I'm asked to do is give away what I can to the best of my ability of with what I understand. I'm to disclose what I'm aware of today and trust that more will be revealed along
Hello?
My journey. Hello?
Go ahead, keep going.
Thank you very much, Mo. Here, also, the other challenge is who do I choose to share my fifth step with? Especially disclosing all of my secrets, things I've perhaps never shared with another person, things I'm not proud of, you know, all of it, because that's my task being put in front of me. It helps me to have the assurance that the person I choose will listen well and not judge me, and will keep my disclosures confidential, hopefully employing anonymity. And I appreciate that the flexibility to utilize more than one person is offered to me here. You know, for example, as they say, a sponsor could be a counselor or a religious official. And also I'm given the guidance to choose someone who has experience with specific issues. For example, a sponsor who has worked with a similar challenge specific to my disease. And because bottom line is, I want that person to have had experience so that they understand. And I believe that they will be able to relate to everything I'm saying and not think that it's strange or unusual. And then the truth, too, is that as I make this decision, my job is to be completely honest with myself, that I will be able to be completely honest with the other person. Remembering my aim is to gain complete freedom from what used to drive me to the food. The other piece of this whole exercise is to have enhancing that spiritual connection. I'm disclosing all of this to my higher power, which helps me connect with that relationship. Thank you, Mo, for allowing me to share. Mm.
Thank you very much, Penny LC, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please let others share today. I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're in the chapter Into Action, page 73. Down at the bottom of the page, we must be entirely honest with somebody. And it ends on page 74. Of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand. We're commenting on that one paragraph only. Who would like to share?
Elena.
Linda S.
I got Elena C. Who was after Elena?
Roz G.
Linda S.
Linda, Martha. I heard Linda. Linda S. Roz G. Who was after Roz?
Malka.
Malka. S, okay. Gotcha, Malka. You're welcome. So I have so far Elena C., Linda S., Roz G., and Malka S. Even the last letter of your name off. Anyone else in this lineup? Okay, we'll go with these four. Everyone else mute except Elena C. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning. How are you? My name is Elena C.
from South Carolina recovers for today. You know, and it reminds me of, this paragraph reminds me of alcoholics who cannot recover are those who are incapable of being honest with themselves. You know, and yesterday I heard on the line, you don't have to be honest with everybody. You just have to be honest with some people. And so in my case, you know, I chose my sponsor. I did not know her very well, but something, the safety of this program and, you know, the way she spoke with me, and just my entire willingness to spit it out to her, whatever I had that I was still burying inside. And that included, you know, my relationship with my mother and stuff that I did wrong to her. And it was so hard to disclose that. But I had no choice. There was no choice because otherwise, you know, we're as sick as our secrets. And this is an intimate, it creates an intimacy and it's scary, you know, and I didn't go to no religious, I just used entirely the program. And my sponsor understood, she was not judgmental. And I felt relief. I remember I was just sobbing as I was telling her my success. And then in that quietness after that, I just felt my soul. I felt the beauties of the world. And I just knew I belonged here because, you know, entire life I had a feeling of not belonging. And I have now a community of people with whom I can, you know, keep in touch and be good and use and support. And as a result, you know, I can be supportive to my family and even with my family. So I know that I need to be honest with them in everything. And I am very, very, I'm grateful for the gift of honesty that this program has given me. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elena C. from South Carolina. Linda S., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Mo. This is Linda S., as in Sweden. Thank you so much for the service and everyone being on the line. Yeah. Honesty really is the foundation of recovery because I have no recovery without honesty. I was hiding so much in shame, in guilt, in, yeah, all kind of resentments and all different kind of, you know, emotions. And like I couldn't really look myself in the mirror. And yeah, I really, I had so much self-loathing. And obviously that is a lie because I'm not hated. I'm loved. I know that today. But for me to really come to a place of freedom, all of the lies that I've been believing has to come to the surface. All of the deception I've been living in this disease, which has had me bound, has to be recognize. And just coming to program many years ago and meeting people who are recovered, even though I had some years out there outside of program and in relapse, I just coming back this time around a few months ago, just hearing the honesty in people, it's just so freeing. And sharing everything that I don't want to share, that I don't want to look at myself, basically, has been so freeing. And then I can start being, you know, living in alignment with the person that I believe I'm supposed
Linda,
to be.
You're,
I'm meant to
you're,
be.
Linda, you're crackling up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that time?
No.
Oh, I can't really hear. I don't know if that was time, but was that time?
No, the connection must have gotten bad, Linda.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'll just thank you for letting me share.
All right. All right, thank you. Sorry about that. Up next is Roz G, followed by Malka S, and after Malka, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, Overeaters Anonymous. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. I know we've probably heard this a few times in the meetings, this saying, but I am only as sick as my secrets. When I keep secrets, who am I hurting? Me. I may be able to hoodwink you, but I'm not fooling God, and I'm hurting myself. And I've been in this program a long time, and I've experienced a lot of different situations. But the one that I cherish the most is the trust of other people. And I really resent when people break anonymity. It just really irks me. And there's meetings, you know, that I go to where there's a little blue card on the table that says, what you hear here, what you see here, when you hear here, something like, let it stay here, whatever it is. And then the people say, hear, hear. So it is extremely important that people have the ability to keep their mouths shut. And it's like it says, a closed mouth friend. That takes maturity, that takes time, that takes humility. So it has taken me years to learn the practice of honesty, and that comes from basically finding a closed mouth, trusted people. So I've learned that in meetings, meetings are not a place to spill my tea, but a place to share my recovery. And as a result of being honest, I'm living a long and happy life. I'm 61 years old. I feel like I'm 30. I'm able to dance with young people in partner dance and instructions. I'm able to manage my garden in my backyard and help people in the community learn how to garden. I'm able to sing in my choir at church and do all the services and not get too tired. I'm able to walk my dogs twice a day. That's a health. And I as long as I live this abstinent life, stick to my food plan, share my truth and secrets with people that I trust, I believe this promise in the big book. So I pass, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Roz G. from California. Before I take Malka, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 73 of the chapter Into Action, and it begins with, it's the fourth paragraph down, we must be entirely honest with somebody. And it ends with, of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand alcoholics. And after I take Malka, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Malka.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
No, I'm not taking names now. Just Malka.
Oh, hi.
No Malka. Names. Sorry. Everybody mute except Malka. Thank you. Go ahead, Malka.
Hi. Just a quick share. My name's Malka. I live in Mexico, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Super grateful for today. Yesterday, I was really feeling pretty sick, and it's always really hard for me because I'm not so I haven't been in program for that long, and it's I feel like I'm still in this rewiring process of like, okay, I'm sick, like I'm not going to eat the food, like you know, figuring out. Yeah, so I'm really, really grateful. I'm feeling a lot better today. But just to comment on this paragraph. So yeah, honesty is crucial. And it's something that I've realized is that my secrets are not like the typical ones that I see myself as an honest person to others, you know, like I try to like be honest, and I've always had that kind of like that value, like growing up, you know, and everything. But I've realized now through program that my secrets are not like the typical, like I have not stolen or cheated, but for me, it's more things like like sneaking food, not seeing my faults, perfectionism, expecting others to be what they're not, lying to myself, not expressing myself, being a people pleaser. These are things that when I do my 10th step and when I have resentments, when things are bothering me, I start to like see these things like you know, a pattern of these types of dishonesty, which is a huge realization and a huge discovery, because now I feel like, okay, I can, when I'm aware of these things, and I still, you know, I still need to talk it out. I'm always going to need to talk it out with a trusted fellow, because it really helps me to see these things in myself. And then I'm able to pray, and then I'm able to ask God to remove my shortcomings and to go through this process. And I'm so grateful for it. It gives me a structure for living. And with that, I will pass. I hope everyone has a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you, Malka S. from Mexico. And before I take this lineup of names, I want to make an announcement that the Power of the Big Book weekend is back. It's going to be November the 7th to the 9th of 2025. And we're just getting prepared. We're giving people information. But I want to please remind you that registration is not open yet for the hotel or the event. This is solely to let you know to save this date of November the 7th to the 9th of 2025 and be a convention of Vision for You people. It's back after COVID. So, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, who would like to share on this paragraph?
Ivy S. Charlene
Ivy?
G. Yes.
Rhonda W.
Wait a minute. Ivy S. Charlene, and then did I hear? Is that J-A-R? Rhonda? Rhonda?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ivy S. Rhonda. Who was that? It was jarbled.
Kristen Y.
Kristen Y.
Cheryl M.
Cheryl M.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. All right, we'll stop there. I don't have all your last initials, but I'll get them. I have Ivy S., Charlene, Rhonda, Kristen Y., Cheryl, and Jordan L. Okay, everyone else mute except Ivy S. Good morning, Ivy.
Hello, good morning. Ivy S. from California, compulsive overeater and bulimic. Oh, entirely honest with somebody. That's a big one for me, and it was certainly big coming in. But, you know, I came in again one more time, really broken, really beaten, just, you know, life in shatters kind of thing. And I heard someone tell their story on this meeting one day, you know, a Sunday special edition. And, you know, they say to pick somebody that has what you want. And, you know, she ate the way I ate. She binged and purged the way I binged and purged. And I could just so relate to that incomprehensible demoralization that she talked about. And then when she shared about her recovery and what it was like now, it just sounded so attractive, you know, and just it gave me so much hope, you know, her being where I was, boy, did I want it. I didn't know if it was possible, but it was very attractive to me. So I asked her to be my sponsor, and I never, like saw her, and I didn't know her other than her share. But immediately, you know, it was just such a, like, I think God-inspired thing. And so, you know, we got to work and got to go through the steps with her. And, you know, when I got to the fifth step about being entirely honest, we had by then, you know, worked, you know, we had a relationship, and I had worked the first, you know, four steps with her. And by then I felt like, you know, because I'd gotten to know her, like I could tell her pretty much anything. And so thank goodness,
I was able to be honest with her. You know, for the first time in a really long time, I was able to be honest with somebody in a way I hadn't been, but it was so crucial for me. And what's really neat is, you know, we just had the OA birthday party here in Los Angeles. You know, I'm here in California. And, oh, my gosh, it was such an emotional time. I got to go to the OA birthday party on Friday. I didn't go Saturday or Sunday, but I did go Friday. And I got to meet her for the first time ever, like, in person. Mm-hmm. And we hugged and cried. And just so beautiful, you know, such, you know, the gift of recovery and this program and the steps. Just, you know, it's given me so much back. So just in a lot of gratitude about that. And what a gift this is. You know, this really is the easier, softer way. At least that's my experience with it. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ivy S. Next is Charlene and followed by Rhonda W. Good morning, Charlene.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Charlene G. from Utah. Just grateful, always grateful for the shares, the service, and for this A Vision for You OA meeting that I get to come to daily and get fed and learn and grow. I'm so grateful for my sponsor. My sponsor has taken me through my fifth step a couple times, and she understands me. She understands food addiction, and so that's what the paragraph speaks to me today is, you know, I'm able to be honest with her, and that entire honesty is a blessing and a miracle. My heart's getting open. I'm learning that God is revealing, and because I'm just staying in the program, I'm learning that I can only open up to what God is revealing to me. So it's a process. You know, He's opening up things to me. The honesty is growing. The healing is happening, and recovery is coming from my head to my heart, and that's just the thing I'm grateful for today. So I just want to say, trust the process, the entire process. It takes a lot for me to get to where I've been today. I mean, I've been in this room for a long time, and it takes what it takes, but God is loving and gentle and compassionate, and if I give Him the space, He is able to show me, shine the light on things, and He's preparing me and strengthening me. So grateful again for the founders and the people that made this all possible. I just love that I now have a better relationship with God. He knows me, and He knows how to help me figure it out. So the honesty is really important, and I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Charlene G. from Utah. Rhonda W., followed by Kristen Y. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning. This is Rhonda W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I remember when I first came into program, my sponsor was trying to teach me, has taught me that all steps go back to step one. And I didn't understand that because I was on step one. So on step one, where it says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, food, whatever we want to add there, and that our lives have become unmanageable. She made a point to focus on what lives meant. She says, if you're sitting in a room and you have nothing, all the things that you think are your life and they're all gone, what are you doing? And it came down to the fact that I was thinking and having emotions. My thoughts and emotions are not based in reality. My thoughts and emotions are what's unmanageable. She says, now reread step one. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that my thoughts and emotions had become unmanageable. And that was the basis of our process into getting me recovered. And I understand it the more we moved forward in the steps, because right now we're on the part where it says, I need to be honest with somebody. Well, I fought my whole way through my first fourth step. I fought and kicked and screamed, you don't get it and you don't understand, because I didn't trust. I don't know how not to kill myself and I don't mean a gunshot to the head. That's the easy death. I mean that hard death of living life and going to work and being nice to people and bringing people in and being appropriate and writing myself to a higher power. I don't know how not to do that. I don't know how not to kill myself and go back into whatever it is I use to make me feel better, especially the food. And through that kicking and screaming process, you know, I stayed because I wanted what they had. And my life was unmanageable.
because of the way that I think and because of the way that I feel. I can't control my thoughts and emotions, but I can control my actions. So I just simply had, even though I didn't believe, I had to simply listen and stay the course and pay attention and believe that there is something on the other end of this. And so there was, because I have more than I bargained for today. And I have more than I even deserved, in my opinion. And I don't have to eat today, which is awesome. And I'm grateful to be here. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda W. from Arizona. Up next is Kristen Y., followed by Cheryl. Good morning, Rhonda.
Hi, I'm Kristen.
Oh, excuse me, Kristen.
Hi, I'm Kristen Y. from California. Day 14, abstinence. Okay. And this is a good one for me. It has been the crux of my addiction, is dishonesty. And I think mostly with myself, that idea of, oh, I did pretty well today. I did well. And then it creeping in, except for that and that. And it's so incredible that I'm still so fearful around letting stuff go. I'm doing it, and it feels good, and I've got this clarity. And I did it before for a health issue, so when I was in pain, I was able to do it. But yeah, the disconnect between the food and then where I'm at, you know, wanting so badly to be a lower weight and getting on the scale and going, oh, you know, and just not connecting the dots, that dishonesty. I think what I do to keep myself mired in it is I kind of make things more difficult than they are. I'm doing some pre-step work with a really cool person. I'm thinking three is a charm. This is my third attempt with a sponsor. And it's all about, are you willing to go to any lengths? And it's like, ooh. And one of them is like, no restaurants until you're done with the 12-step work. And it reminds me of when another sponsor told me, you know, stay out of the club for a year. And I just went, oh. And it was the best thing ever for me. So it's like, my best thinking got me here. So I need to listen to people that have done it, have gone before me and do it. And I need to get really honest with myself. And so I am. I'm doing it, but I'm scared. I'm like, I'm thinking that, oh, maybe I'm being a little hard on myself, which is just the opposite of what I was doing with the food. That was hard on myself. Anyway, I'm really thankful I can call into this meeting. Thanks, you guys.
Okay. And that was Kristen Y., right? I'm mixed up here. Did Rhonda, did you share?
Rhonda did.
Okay, thank you. All right, Cheryl, you're up next.
Hi, this is Cheryl M. from South Carolina, a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. My fifth step was, it wasn't a hard decision who to do it with, because my sponsor had been holding my hand all through the first four steps. And so, of course, he was going to be the one I did my fifth step with. And I had some trials and tribulations about one particular thing that I did not want to have to put out there into the light. But I also knew that I wanted to be free of the food hell that I had been living in. And so I shared it with him. And he said, me too, afterwards, which was amazing to me, because I thought I certainly was the only person evil enough to have done what I did. And after my whole fifth step, at the end of that, the first thing he said to me was he loved me. And that was such a great lesson for me on somebody who could know all my warts and the deepest, darkest, yuckiest stuff about me and still love me. He was teaching me about unconditional love, which I did not know, I did not get from my family. So that was a great lesson. But I had this gnawing feeling in me that I needed to do something more of a confession, like in my faith tradition. And so I thought about that for a while, about what that might look like or who it might be with. And I found out that the monastery near where I lived had one of the monks that listened to Fifth Steps. So I thought, this is perfect. So I made an appointment, and on the date, I went over and was ready to do my Fifth Step with this monk, and explained to him that I wasn't an alcoholic, that I was a compulsive overeater, and explained a little bit about that. And he looked at me puzzled and said, but it's just food. And so I tried to explain again that, you know, I have alcoholic foods that once I take one, I can't stop, and, you know, tried to explain again to him. And his response was a pause and a puzzled look, and, but it's only food. So I thanked him for his time, and I went on my way without having shared my Fifth Step with him, and sort of laughed as I got to my car and said, okay, God, I get it. I've done my Fifth Step. I've done what I needed to do. I don't need to do this additional confession thing, because I've already confessed to you and to another human being. So the last line of our paragraph today: of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand compulsive overeaters. And that's what I had run into. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl M. Up next will be Jordan L., and I may have time for one more after Jordan. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. and it was wonderful to see you up. The birthday party. My name's Jordan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm very grateful to be abstinent this morning and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, and reading about the Fifth Step here. Just this first line is like dancing on the page for me, right? We must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. One of the things that says to me right off the bat is that I'm probably not currently, this is something I'm doing for the future. So I'm not currently living happily. And this is, I'm doing this for the future results of that, right? The Fifth Step it's pretty uncomfortable going into it, and having written this four step and the knowledge that I'm, you know, going to be entirely honest about it with this other person, which I don't know about you, but there were things on that Fifth Step that I had never divulged to any other person before. That my sponsor was the first person that I had ever told those things to. And I'm going to be honest, it was very uncomfortable. It's not a comfortable step by any means. I really do it for the results, you know, and that hope on the other side, that description, that state of recovery that I hear other people talking about, you know, and to be entirely honest with somebody. there's that word entirely again. It shows up in this book a couple of times, and one of the instances that it shows up is when it's talking about abstinence, about being entirely abstinent, in the doctor's opinion, in the beginning, and What I know about entirely is that it means entirely. I can't choose an alternate definition for entirely. That's what it means, is entirely. So I get as honest as I possibly can be, entirely honest at that moment in time, and see where it takes me. And I know too, I'll wrap up. I know too, from taking other people's fifth steps, what a sacred role that is. And it's really important that I show up completely and totally neutral, and just a pair of ears to be able to listen to that other person the way that a higher power would have me listen. So with that, thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jordanelle. We have time for about a 2-minute share, if somebody would like to take that.
Barbara.
Marisa
G.
Okay, Barbara. I got Barbara. Okay. I'm sorry. Come back tomorrow.
Okay.
Barbara E.
I'll speed talk as fast as I can. I'm Barbara E., a volume compulsive overeater. Every day is a new day working on my recovery. Well, honesty is very important to me. I've learned that. Truth is always the same, but honesty changes with my awareness. In the disease, I lied to myself and I lied to others. It was kind of wishful fantasy, this honest thinking. And where did my energy lie? And then when I came and I discovered hope, when I'm on these meetings, I hear my own story over and over again, and I realize I'm not alone. I see those who are recovered or recovering, and I have hope. But courage, before programs, security, and comfort were my idols, I would do whatever it took to avoid conflict, to avoid feelings, both the positive and the negative. And that meant stuffing with food and binge-watching TV and social media. And fear is what brought me into OA, but courage and hope is what kept me back, coming back. Integrity is coming into the program and being aware of how much of a people pleaser I was and how much daily stress I suffered under in trying to live out everyone's expectations and opinions of me. I was an emotional chameleon. Is it any wonder I became a COE? This is a pattern I still struggle with. But willingness to be willing to give up my old toxic beliefs that I held on to as to be true, to be willing to put down the fork and pick up the steps, to pray for willingness to work the steps, even though I was afraid and confused and not necessarily trusting my sponsor or even trusting that there was an HP and the OA program could take me from bondage to freedom, a freedom that not only positively affects my food, but all other aspects of my life as well. So thank you all. I've said enough. I've tried to speed walk and talk as fast as I can. Thank you, Mo. Have a beautiful day. I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara E., for closing us out and speed walking there. Okay, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask, who do I have on here for that? I have Margaret D. Margaret, thank you very much, Margaret.
Oh, thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.